do you say goodbye? Are you one of those people who likes the long, drawn-out hugs, and then you walk away and you come back, and you have a kiss, and you walk away and you come back again, and it takes a long time to say goodbye? Or are you on the other end of the spectrum? You're one of those people who drops someone off at the airport and says, bye, see you later. We all have our own way of saying goodbye. It's not something we necessarily think about, but we each have our own manner, our own emotions around it, and our own way of doing it. Today's gospel is Jesus saying goodbye. This gospel lesson is taken from right during what we call Holy Week, during that last week of Jesus' life. And he's trying to say goodbye to his disciples, to those he loved most, those who walked with him and knew what he was like when he was upset and when he was happy, those deep friends of his. There are a lot of words when he's saying goodbye, but he's trying to reassure them of so much, to tell them that in my Father's house there are many rooms, and there is so much room in God's heart for you and for everyone whom you touch. What a wonderful goodbye message. Oh, that we would hear that when we say goodbye to someone that we love. And he goes on and says many, many other things, and he's very reassuring. But he also reminds them of their responsibility, the responsibility of the relationship they have developed with him and through him with God, referred to far too often as the Father in this reading, but we know what he means, in the Creator, in the one who is there for all of us. He reminds them by saying, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these." He's reminding them that in saying goodbye, just because he won't be there, they are. And it is their mission and their ministry that through that relationship, they are to reach out to the world. But there's a phrase in this gospel reading that I have always had trouble with, and I really don't like it very much. So that's usually the thing that you're called to preach on, I'm afraid. It is, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I'm okay with that bit. "No one comes to the Father except through me." No one comes to the Father. No one comes to God except through me. I have always found that rather exclusive, rather frightening, and often we hear it quoted for those who are very capital C Christian. It's a troubling phrase, but that's because, me included, we've all taken it out of context. Jesus is saying, it's all right, you've already met God. No matter who you are, no matter which one of those rooms in the house that you all live in, that you do live in, God already has accepted you. God already loves you because you're created in God's image. And so it actually, we can respond to God, but only because God has already created us, loved us, given us breath and life and gifts for ministry and gifts for life. Even if we don't know we have those things, even if we don't feel like we have those things, even if it feels and we don't even want to know about God, it's actually not up to us. God has seen us. God has loved us. And if we, as Christians, as Anglicans, as whoever we are as we gather this morning, actually believe in a Creator and a Spirit and Jesus, well, we're already there in one sense. However, we are called to also be the way, the truth, and the life. We are called to actually show forth that which we have received. This past week, a few of us, Sherry and Gay and I, were at a Green Churches event about churches, all kinds of churches, trying to be more environmentally conscious and care for creation. And Bishop Mark MacDonald, who's the Indigenous Bishop of the Anglican Church of Canada, spoke. And he said that we have a great gift, many, but one in particular, that we as the church understand how to receive, to bless, to break, and to share. And he said this is wonderful for Indigenous spirituality because it's four-directional thinking as well, which is so important to their spirituality. But it struck me, isn't that what we have as a Christian church, as people of faith? We receive. We are open. That is why we are here. We are open to God's word. We are open to God working through us. We gather to bless, and we do that in so many ways. We do that at great feasts, and we do that around our kitchen tables, and we do that in the streets when we are with people. We break together. We break bread on Sunday morning. We break food together when we gather. But we also break when we are with one another in times of sorrow and need and pain and grief. When we're walking with people in that, we are broken open. And then we are to share it. We are to absolutely not keep that a silent thing that is within these four walls that we never talk about. And Mark said that until we share what we have not understood what we have. We've not understood what we already have, nor have we truly received it. For us to understand those words, the way, the truth, and the life, and to coming to God through Jesus, that actually applies to us because we are the ones who have received and blessed and broken, and we are to share it. No matter what the cost, we heard the cost for Stephen in the earlier reading. Fortunately for us here in this peaceful land, that's not often the cost for us to have a belief. But it was in those days, and it is right now in other parts of our world. But we need to do it in our own way, to find our own way to share that which we've been given. Now, this may seem like an odd thing, but last night we had a party here, our spring fling. And we had no way of knowing it would be on the night of a Senators game. And it was here, in our sacred space, right here. And it was a wonderful evening, and we probably had about 25 people, mostly parishioners, for the first hour or two. It was kind of like our own private dance party. And it was great. But people started trickling in from time to time, and then the Senators won. And we became an after party. So we rang the bells. And it's been tweeted that we rang the bells last night. And one woman said in her tweet, her Twitter account, "The church on Elgin rang their bells when the Senators won." And someone wrote a comment back that I thought was fascinating. "Well, either the community, the city is burning down, or something good happened." Now that takes me back to when the church used to be for the whole, was a parish. Remember, we are a parish that cares for the whole community, no matter who is in it. And in the old days, in any community, if the church bells rang, there was an emergency, or a celebration, or a death. One of those things. Fortunately, last night, the place wasn't burning down. But it was fascinating. We had about, at the height of it, probably at one time, we had 60 people in here dancing. And it was quite astonishing. I stood in the middle of the crowd and looked around, and there were young people, there were old people. There was a woman here with her friends that her friends had gone home, except for two of them, at her bachelorette party. And she was here at St. John's dancing. There were people asking, what are you doing? And it was quite fascinating to see how far we have moved in the church and society away in some ways from one another. Many of the young people said to me, more than one or two, "We thought it was a wedding and we couldn't come in." So even in our times of celebration, we are seen to be somewhere you can't come into. except for last night, and hopefully some more this morning, a few people as well. But it was a powerful lesson. And one man who was older was taking lots of pictures. We're probably on all sorts of Twitter accounts today and Facebook pages. And I spoke to him, and he said, I am a poet. Mostly I write in French, and of course my French isn't that great, so he translated a bit of it. And he said, I just wrote a poem not that long ago about the church. And in the poem I said things like, oh, for the day when the young people will be unafraid to hug the old, and the old the young. Oh, for the day when the pews and the chairs will sit side by side. Oh, for the day when the organ and the guitars play at the same time. He said to me, that was the gist of my poem, because I feel a great loss about how the church is not together and open. And he said, tonight, you have done all of that. We just had a party. So we are called, you see, as the church, not just to be serious all the time. We're good at that. We're good at the hard moments in life, but we are also called to celebrate. It was just one night, but to have 100 people or so go through this place, many of whom had never been here, many of whom may never come back, but they won't forget the night they danced at St. John's. One woman said to me, but we're in the church. I said, yeah, tomorrow morning we'll be at celebrating around the altar here, and it's a short night for some of us, but we'll be good. And she said, wow. And I said, you know, sacred space is for everyone. And she said, I have never heard that before. This must be an amazing place. So we are called to actually show the way to the Father through us in everything we do. Whether it's a powerful moment of prayer with someone, whether it's gathered around the altar, whether it's dancing, in some cases, in the streets. You see, we have seen God. We have seen God in each other, in this place, in our community. So it's time for us to say goodbye to a few things. Goodbye to that image that has held us in one place. Goodbye to the closed doors, we've already opened them. Goodbye to our own thoughts that we don't have anything to share that isn't powerful, because we do. And it's time for us to say hello to our world. And this church has always done a good job of this, and it was with great wonder I could say, there's been no problem having this party because this place is already there. There are so many things that this parish has done and will continue to do. We just need a new way of translating for our community. That's what we're called to do, to be interpreters, to show people that our life in God is also the way to the Father, that we are living beings of this message. So, may the Sens win again, though I don't think we can do another party this week. And may we all be called to show the way to God, our Creator. Amen.